love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com. You wanna be down with the
kids? Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Dell with us this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance is not feeling well, under the weather. I like to say lazy, but he is apparently not. His chest has not gotten any better from that. If you've been listening to the show over the last few weeks, you've heard him cough several times on the air. He's had bronchitis, and now it's worsened, and now his asthma has kicked in as well. So dude is out, and hopefully he'll be better, and he'll be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, Dell is with us here on ESPN 97.5. And how's that drive in, Dell?
I'm used to it, John. I did it for years. I mean, it's not great when you're not sure you're going to have to make the drive, and then you're on call like a doctor, except in a far less important job. So it's like, yeah, Dell, I mean, Lance called me, and because my sleep patterns are off because I don't have to get up early. I was in the middle of a nap. He called me like probably more like I was just going to go to bed. He calls me and I miss the call and I just happen to wake up and I text him and go, was this call important? And he goes, well, then he goes through the whole spiel about what's wrong with him and how I should be available and blah, blah,
just
blah.
Just tell me.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through it all.
Yeah. He goes, I'm trying to get in, but I'm not sure. So now I'm on call. So now I got to set an alarm and hopefully if he gets in, then I don't have to get a text from him saying come in. Or if he can't get in, now I have to be ready to go. So, you know, you saw the text string. I get all the texts come flying in, and I guess, okay, I guess it's time for me to come in and do this stupid thing again.
And did you see all my responses?
Yeah, you didn't. It has nothing to do with you. You're going to be in your spot no matter what. So what did it – you shouldn't have responded. There is nothing you could do.
No. No, you're right. And you know what I responded? Nothing.
With nothing.
Just Dell, get there. But I was a little bit peeved with you. I was down in League City at my place, T-Box, down there, where we hit golf balls, we drink Coors Lights, and we watch sports. And I invite you out. I tell, come pick you up. We'll hang out. The people will love it. We'll hit some golf balls. We'll drink some beers. And I got nothing from you.
Well, I don't know if you know this about the group chat. I have it on Do Not Disturb. So I only check in when I care to. So I don't see the texts when they come in. I go, oh, okay, there's something. I actually have something to say, or I'm interested in what these idiots are talking about. So then I'll chime in. But I don't get notifications when you text. So I could have seen it at the time you sent it in or 8 hours later. There's no telling.
Well, you missed a good time.
Did I?
Because me and you hanging out, hitting golf balls and drinking beers, now that's a night. Okay?
Feels like misery to me.
It's all the things you love, all the things you love, and you missed it. And well, I'm going to be down there a bunch, down at T-Box, because, you know, you could play. How about this? You play golf at night, Dell. You play golf. You can play golf during the rain. You know, you don't have to. It's right there. You don't have to. No cart path only. I mean, it's just perfect. So. I'll be down there a bunch. I'll be picking you up a bunch, and we'll go play.
All these scenarios begin with you can play golf, which means I'm out. So I don't care at night, you can drink, when it rains, cart path. They all start with you can play golf, which means I'm out. No chance.
That's Well, and we can watch sports. I mean,
what
it's all
sports.
I can't
tell. There's nothing
drink on. Drink beer, watch sports.
Football's over. All we got to deal with is the Rockets and you know, 40 plus by Jalen Green. That one in every five games thing where he shows up. Congratulations to the Rockets for ending their losing streak. But I don't want to watch sports with you at all. What sports would we be watching? Rockets basketball?
Yeah. Or NCAA tournament. We'll probably go down there, maybe have a little tournament during the we'll be hitting golf balls while the tournament's going on. I mean, you want to talk about fun. We got me and you. It's buddy-buddy. It's just two pals hanging out, drinking beer, and hitting golf balls.
Sure, that sounds like a great time for all involved.
It sounds like a great time for everybody.
I'm glad you found an alternative for your golfing fix that you can now do it in multiple locations at night, in the rain, without a cart, with the cart. I'm glad you found an alternative, but it doesn't really involve me, so I'm just going to have the sheriff run you out of the city. That's what I'm going to do.
Little ball of hate. Little ball of hate. And typical. I knew the response I'd get there. That's all I'm trying to do. Me and him, just being pals, best friends,
yeah.
BFFs. And here's what I get, okay? This is terrible.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you invited me. I'm glad because it's another thing for me to say no to. But I don't check the group chat all the time, but I did see a text come in. Congratulations are in order.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yesterday, my daughter had her first baby, my first grandchild, Charlotte. We're going to call her Charlie.
I thought it would be Giuseppe, but I guess Charlie's okay.
It's a girl. So Giuseppe.
Well, Giuseppe's is not a gender neutral name.
No, it's not. No. Maybe it is.
Frankie is.
I'm not sure these days about names.
Well, Charlie is gender neutral too.
Yeah, Frankie.
Frankie.
And Steffi.
Not Steffi so much, but
JT. Those are not really. Frankie, though, yeah. It's gender neutral. But Giuseppe, not so much. If she was a girl, maybe Gianna. Which she is a girl, but they decided instead on Charlotte.
They're going to call
it
Charlie.
Charlie's a gender-neutral name.
When I saw it this morning, because you couldn't really tell who the woman is in the photo, but I didn't want to invoke some Game of Thrones incest stuff. I was going to go, JT's at it again. Congratulations to JT on his second kid. I was just going to make that joke, but then I realized, wait a minute, who's that in that picture? Then it just gets weird if I make the JT joke. So I backed off. But congratulations to Steffi, the fruit of your loins, who's actually brilliant. Congratulations to her. And I don't know her husband's name, but congratulations to him. And I guess the Granados as a whole. Granados, grandpa.
Yep. No, it's a big day. It's a big day for the Granados. Little Charlie's here. And Pat is his name, and Steffi, and I'm at their house right now in Oklahoma City. I'll be coming back today. But as I understand it, we're going to have weather today, huh? It looks bad out there?
It might be. I mean, there's a chance. I mean, I was planning to be inside, but thanks to Lance, I might have to deal with it. But I don't know. You know, I'm inside. I wasn't checking weather, but it might be a problem today. So if you're out there, be safe out there driving around. But you're in OKC. Lance is in some urgent care center, and I'm here.
I think he's been moved to the hospital.
Oh, that's where he is now?
Yeah, I think they moved him to the hospital. That's what the last report was. So Dr. Muntz is going to see him at the hospital. So, yeah, Dr. Muntz said, yeah, go hospitalize him, and I'll see him in the morning. So that's where he is now. He said he had a problem breathing.
Yeah.
I like to say he's lazy. His lungs are lazy, but okay.
Well, I'm
all right.
It's a DMP for old. That's what I'm calling it.
No. DMP, well, it's, what do you call him, T-A-L?
Trash-ass Lance. Well,
yeah.
DMP, right, T-A-L. That's what it is.
Yeah, he's got trash-ass lungs. Okay,
I've heard Lance cough up things for years. I didn't know it's got to the point where he needs to be hospitalized. So, all jokes aside, if he makes it, he makes it. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. If he makes it, if not, you got a spot.
I guess. Look. Either I'm sleeping in or I got a spot. That's how I'm looking at it. We'll see.
If he doesn't make it, I got me a job.
Yeah. Look at that.
Hey, look at that.
Look at the positive side, everyone.
So there's been this Jalen Green argument going on here for a while. I look at his numbers and I'm like, and somebody goes, well, look at his last six games. Okay, here's a Dubia Knight or something. Listening to yesterday's podcast comments about Chandler, curious how you feel today. Even with the clunker in Minnesota game one, he's averaging 29 points on 50% field goal, 42% three-point over his last six games. I mean, he's had basic – well, he had basically two good games and then another decent game. And, you know, okay, but what about the stinker? What about the five losses in those six games? What about the stinkers? What about the rest of the whole season? Why are we – I mean, I don't know about you. Now, it's nice to see this one and his previous 41-point game, which was just a couple of games ago. That's nice. Those are really, really signs that Jalen Green actually is doing. But what has taken him so long to get started in these seasons? Last year, it was the last 2 months. He was great. And then you think it would carry over to this year, and this year, stink. For the first 3 months of the season, and now all of a sudden he's showing some signs. What the hell is taking him so long to get started?
Yeah, I've heard you guys talk about this the last couple of days, going back to last week and certainly yesterday. The growth that you hope to have seen last year, and at least the build off that growth, hasn't come. I don't know if I want to be in the small sample size corner of Jalen Green where we're measuring every five games if he does something. I mean, yes, young player. But I would like it to be a more consistent thing. Forget the 41 is great. There's no way you knock him for what he did. He helped in that losing streak. But you want to look at him and go, okay, you look at his numbers, now up over 22 points per game. Shooting percentage is not great. Efficiency's a problem. You'd like to see that worked out. And you hope as he gets older as a player, those things change. But when we're at a point where we're looking at 5 to 6 game sample size, okay, he was great here and he was really good here. Well, we're 46 games into the year. I would like to look at the 46 games and go, that guy is building off what he did the last 2 months of the year, and we haven't seen that so far, at least not consistently.
No, what we're seeing is now, but at least the good news is, after, you know, I don't know how many bad games in a row, it appears like he's playing every other game. That's a good sign. 15 of 25 last night, 42 points. 3 of 13 before that, stink. 16 of 24, 41 points. That's good. 7 of 20, 23 points. That's stink. 10 of 21, 27 points. That's good. 9 of 25, 26 points. That's not good. 9 of 25 is not good. That's 36% from the field. It can't have it. 4 of 15, 8 of 24, 5 of 15, 5 of 17. These are all bad. But at least now we're getting every other game, which is a positive. And yet, it doesn't. Is he ever going to translate into winning? That's the question.
This is the discussion that I've had with others before the year started about this Rockets team, and you like to accrue all this young talent. And sure, it's with Şengün and Jalen Green, Jabari Smith. You hope that is something you can build on, or even if it comes to a point where you're moving one of those guys for an established piece, you want that capability with one of those players. But you don't want to become – I heard the discussion earlier, or at least yesterday, about the Kings, who have actually had a pretty good year this year. You don't want to become the Kings. You don't want to become a team who's marking regular season wins against the Lakers with the light show because they're finally playing well after a decade plus of being awful. And that could happen. I know it's well off in the future, and it's all fun and games to predict when the Nets are going to implode and when those picks are going to mean something. And for what the Nets have saved off implosion for another season, appears like, even with the Kevin Durant injury. But you would like to look at the players on this current roster and go, building block, that's a building block, that's a building block. And I'm not going to put Jalen Green in one category or the other because, he's a young player and he's still inconsistent. But so far, he doesn't appear to be that transformational player that you can look at and go, how many players want to play with him because he's great? And the caveat always will be, until he's not young anymore, is that he's really young. And we're going to have to wait and see. And hopefully he has another back half of the year like he did last year. And you can say, okay, that's one. And you think, I heard, and Şengün is two. And then you see what Jabari Smith is as he continues to grow.
Can they be De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis?
Well, De'Aaron Fox, how long did it take De'Aaron Fox?
It's taken a while, but listen, you said you don't want to be the Sacramento Kings. I wouldn't mind. Listen, Golden State took a while, but they cashed in on their draft picks, and look at what the run that they went on.
I'm talking about.
My question is, can these guys be Steph and Draymond and
Hall of Famers? You know,
is this the foundation, or have they made mistakes? Can Fox and Şengün be Green and Şengün be Fox and Sabonis? I wouldn't mind it. I'm okay with them. As long as there's a payoff from all this losing.
Well, I meant the Kings because they were awful for over a decade. I'm not talking about the Kings in the last year and a half where they made the trade for Sabonis and now they have De'Aaron Fox and something's building there. The Kings are awful for a very long time, and it's finally coming to fruition after multiple missed picks, whether it be Marvin Bagley, and then you got blanking on the dude's name from another Duke player who they missed on, I think, another big man. So this has been a long process for the Kings where they've missed and missed and missed, and guys haven't been good. Well, that's the Kentucky guy, another guy that missed. We can start naming Kings players. RJ said Willie Cauley-Stein. We can start naming Kings players who've missed. So I don't want the Rockets to be that. That was over a decade of nonsense for the Kings. But sure, possibly, could they be De'Aaron Fox? But De'Aaron Fox hadn't tasted any winning until what? He's now a veteran in the league?
Yeah.
So do you want to get to the point where we're 6 or 7 years down the road?
Any winning by Jalen Green right now, I'll take. I don't know when it's going to come. You know, any winning right now, because I don't see a light at the end of this tunnel, if you want to know the truth. The way that he plays, the way that this organization is playing right now, anything down the road that you tell me Jalen Green's going to be part of a good team, I know the West is shaky this year, but they're third in the league right now. I mean, they're third in the conference right now. And you know what? If you could tell me that there is a light of third place in the conference sometime soon, I mean, I might even take it, even if it takes a while, to tell you the truth. I wouldn't mind seeing these guys grow together. That would be good. I would love to see Jalen Green be the cornerstone. I would love to see him be the piece, the major piece. I just ain't seeing it. We're just not. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on this? You're more than welcome. Right now, though, we're talking about HR and P. You know, hey, this is something that, you know, Lance has got. He's going to have to take time off. He's got insurance stuff to worry about. You know, who takes care of all that stuff for us is HR and P. Now, the insurance stuff, here's what they do. They offer you different packages, insurance packages. They're not selling you an insurance package. They're not selling you a 401k package. They're not selling you any of the benefits packages, but that's what the other payroll companies do. See, that's the difference. The other ones are also in the business of 401ks and insurance, and they're making all this money. They're forcing you to take their insurance package. They're forcing you to take their 401ks, their benefits packages, and you're like, wait, this is now all of a sudden really expensive. And people don't get it because they throw at, oh, look how low our payroll is. Look how low it is. And then they throw all the other stuff at you, all those add-ons that we talk about in other commercials, and then you're all of a sudden you're stuck with a big bill. That's not what's happening at HR&P. HR&P is taking care of your payroll, and they're taking care of your HR, and they're going to do your taxes as well, and you're going to pay less in the long run. I'm telling you. On all this stuff. So if you're looking for a payroll company that is not going to add on, then all you got to do is go to hrp.net, 281-880-6525 or hrp.net.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you happen to, the Fan Fest was this past weekend for the Astros. Did you happen to hear any of it? Did you get any of it on your radio or TV?
I was aware that the Astros are taking the world tour. I know some of them are at the Cougs game. Well, they didn't bring great luck to that one when they lost to Tampa by a point.
When they show up for your game, you ought to win or something.
Yeah. So I know the Astros are out there shaking hands and I don't know, maybe not kissing babies, but waving the babies, but. I didn't hear anything. I just know they're out and about.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. And I was listening to it. I was on my way to the airport, actually, to come up here to Oklahoma City. And I heard Jose Altuve on there, and it was good. I mean, the fans are just – it's so – It's just so different than the other teams. It's just so much better. It's just so such a well-run organization. It looks like it's going to be – now, Michael Hill from the Marlins has pulled his name from consideration. I don't know that he was going to get it. Dana Brown has apparently emerged as the front runner. He's from the Braves, really what is apparently a really sharp guy, really good at evaluating talent, which is, I think, the most important thing. That what Jeff Luhnow did, not only setting up the organization and as far as player development goes and using numbers and having a system to analyze guys, to analyze what they're doing in the minor leagues, but also before you draft them, to analyze them and see that they were going to be successful players. He was unbelievable. Jeff Luhnow ain't walking through that door. But it looks like Dana Brown is a sharp guy as well. He's gotten guys like Michael Harris. He's gotten guys like Strider and found them in the organization. Apparently, I don't know if he's taking credit for it. I don't know. He's in charge of their recruiting or their evaluation. So that is really, really good. That sounds really, really good. I really do. What we saw, it was really good to see that they had found some guys in the international pool, at least two of the top 50, and then a bunch more guys. Hopefully those guys will come through. I don't know what kind of evaluation system they use. I'm not sure. I don't know that they're going to be nearly as good as Luhnow was, but at least they were in the international pool, and they found some players that are apparently pretty good players. But Dana Brown has a track record. It was worrisome. Listen, I love Bags. I think Bags is great, and he's now all of a sudden the spokesman for the organization. As a matter of fact, Jeff Bagwell on Saturday was asked about the potential of Yuli coming back, and it's funny. Here's Jeff Bagwell's response about Yuli coming back to the organization.
There's nobody that loves Yuli more than us, myself, Jim, Dusty, everybody. It's just trying to find the right fit for the club. But he's a huge part of our success here, so we'll continue to monitor that situation.
What are the chances he's back here?
I don't know. I don't have one. It kind of just depends how the rest of this offseason goes. Everything gets done quickly this year in baseball, pretty much. A lot of the big names are off the market. But we're just kind of waiting to see how that turns out, what we do with our roster, and go from there.
Apparently he has the go-ahead to, include. Lance and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, Bags is part of the organization, like it or lump it, whatever you think about that. But I'm glad that Jim Crane is going out and getting, because Jeff Bagwell, as good as he is, he's not a GM. He's just not a GM. He is a spokesman. He is maybe an advisor. But the day-to-day minutia of the organization, I'm glad that he's going out there and getting somebody with experience.
So what is Jeff Bagwell's role? Is he what you just described him as, person, a front-facing guy who, that's Bags. Whatever he says, it comes out easier because it's coming from Bags, or we swallow it easier because it's coming from Bags. Leave your jokes at home. So is he just a guy to a familiar face to speak? Is he going to actually have any power in terms of making decisions?
From what I know and from what I've heard about the organization, there's a room of guys, five, six guys, that Jim Crane really leans on. That Jim Crane really, and you know what? They can't be all that bad, because look at this organization. So there's advisors, and Jeff Bagwell is amongst those. And Reggie Jackson is amongst those. Guys that he trusts, guys that are baseball, that know baseball. And this is why the whole analytics thing came up, is that it's not just about analytics. There's guys like us that know baseball. And, they give Jim Crane advice, and Jim Crane, he relies on them, and it's great. That's fine. And I got absolutely no problem with them, looking not only at numbers, but also knowing baseball. Listen, if it wasn't for knowing some baseball, Yuli wouldn't even been in the postseason last year. The numbers guys told us Yuli should not have been on the field, period. And look at what Yuli did in the postseason. So, I agree wholeheartedly that you use those numbers, to the best of your ability, but you also have to have some kind of a feel. You know, you also I know all those numbers are great, but who are you bringing in relief? Who feels good right now? Who do you have trust not only that he can get, you know, this guy out or that guy out, but that he's throwing well right now? I got to use some gut in this thing. And I think Dusty does a pretty good job with that as well. I mean, Dusty doesn't know nearly as many of the numbers. I mean, we've approached him. The media has approached him before with certain stats about, you know, this guy can't hit. You know, against lefties, Chas McCormick is hitting 420, Dusty, and Dusty has no idea. And, you know, oh, well, Dusty has no idea. Dusty also, you know, has won 100 games the last few years and got over the top and had one of the great teams and one of the great bullpens in postseason history. And as a matter of fact, here's Dusty on how life has changed for him. He says he's coming back because he wants to win another championship. Here's how his life has changed since winning that World Series.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people that told me they were pulling for us. A lot of people who tell me, hey, I'm not that crazy about the Astros out there, but we're pulling for you. And I think we got some more Astro fans out of this as well. And, you know, people are calling me champ. I didn't know who they were talking to at first, you know, walking down the street. And, you know, I've always been invited to spend a lot of time with the little leagues, high schools, but the requests this year have been off the hook. So I got really, one of my homeboys, Jerry Manuel, reminded me that I had to get my rest. You got to take care of yourself in order, because this is going to be I think this year is going to be tougher than, you know, than last year.
I agree or disagree? This year's going to be tougher than last year.
That was going to be my question as far as the approach, more from a fan perspective, because 2017, you get the first one, 2022, it's the validation, if you want to call it that, for all the crap you took in the preceding years after the scandal. Now you have your two. Everything that could be said about you, you can say, yeah, but look at these two rings. I think it's always tougher after you win. I mean, the Astros will be fine. I'm not saying there'll be this dramatic drop off, but it's always tougher. That's why winning two in a row rarely happens in any sport because of how difficult it is. So, I mean, just the default setting is yes, trying to get back there and win it again it's going to be tougher.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, you don't have Verlander this year.
Yeah, you're number
going
one.
Now, you do know what Verlander was last year. Going into last year, you didn't know what Verlander was. So you know, at this time last year, you were like, well, a lot depends on this, a lot depends on that. Hey, you know what you got with this rotation now. You know what you've got that you don't have. You know what you've got with the lineup, and it's better. But it's probably – now, Yuli was coming off a batting crown and hit like that. Now you got Jose Abreu, who's been very consistent and hopefully brings that same stuff that he's been with the White Sox, and maybe even better with that short porch and left. Jose Abreu might have a really big breakout season with that short porch. So, you know, I think yeah, it's going to be harder because you got a target on your back. Not that you haven't had a target on your back before, but now you're doing it, you know, with maybe a little, not certainly a little less. Without Verlander, without Cy Young Award winner, it ain't going to be nearly as easy.
What?
Looking forward to it, though. I got a tweet from somebody. As soon as you guys start talking Rockets and Texans, I turn off.
Well,
I'm like, what the hell?
It's understandable.
Do you just want us to talk Astros?
Or fun stuff, I think. He's just looking for stuff that won't depress him.
Oh, I got it. Well, there's some fun stuff. We will get to some fun stuff here. And if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Right now, though, it's no fun when you need a lawyer, period. It's just no fun. Exclamation point. I hate it. You know, and you know, something bad is happening. You're getting a divorce. You've gotten an accident. You've gotten arrested. God forbid. I mean, all of these things are terrible. All of these things. A doctor, you need to sue for malpractice. An insurance company, you need to sue because they're not paying up. Whatever it is, somebody, your neighbor wronged you. What 18-wheeler? You did something criminally insane. Okay, all of these things, you need a lawyer. Well, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. When you look at their resume, when you look at their expertise in all of the different areas of law, you're like, wow. And all the experience is unbelievable. And then, you know, labor law, U.S. citizenship, immigration, se habla español, all of these things. They have expertise in all of these things. They have experience in, and that's kind of a big deal, especially with that immigration part, because not all law firms handle that. So if you're looking for the best lawyer, if whatever it is that you need, you're going to get a free consultation, and you're going to get answers. And you're going to, when you, if they do take you on, you're going to get personal defense, personal attention every single time. So you're looking for that law firm, make the call, Morley Law. 713-839-9955 or MorleyLaw.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
With John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
David gets it. Y'all are doing fun stuff. I mean, what's more fun than making fun of LZ going into the hospital by two of his best friends who he adores with all his heart? First of all, we weren't making fun of him. We just think that, you know, soft, lazy, okay, those things, okay.
Mostly
those
I made it about me and my situation, having to tend to be worried and wait for the text to say he can't make it. It was mostly about making my life more difficult than making fun of him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you didn't get the sleep that you needed.
No.
Right?
No, I had to set an alarm, which sucks.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Never mind him having difficulty breathing. I had to set an alarm.
There's a RJ. Did you send this picture out of Dell with his fist all bowed up?
That's Dustin. He just screen capped something from the Twitch. That's all.
Oh, it looks like he's Dustin. It looks like he's about to punch me.
Well, okay. I mean, can't pretend like that feeling hasn't been.
Good morning, Virgins. Have you already got your morning rockets fixed in before I come over? I don't want to hear about trash boiled vomit.
Who's calling us Virgins?
Oh, Lamont. He always calls us virgins.
Yeah, I mean, you love talking about the Rockets and how bad they stink.
Don't like to talk about how bad they stink. No.
You're motivated to talk about them. I mean, it almost as if they're costing you money.
No, they're not. No, the Texans, that trash vomit cost me money.
Why would you do that with the Texans? Because of Davis Mills and Lovie Smith?
Because they were, okay, they were better than last, better coach, like a real coach, as opposed to David Culley.
Man's been fired a couple times since he had any success coaching.
For all I needed, I didn't need him to win a Super Bowl. I needed him to win five games, okay? That's all I needed, right?
Okay, they've got, Lovie Smith,
they've got
better.
Another draft in, actually a first rounder, two first rounders, second, third, that are going to contribute.
How'd
they're going to be
out?
Better.
How'd that work out, the first rounders this year?
The first round picks? All right, if truth be told, I think it's an incomplete on Stingley, which is a real problem because that's what he is. He's incomplete. We didn't know about him we didn't know what he was because he didn't play in college, and now we don't know what he is because he didn't play in the pros either. Although when he did play, he played okay.
Yeah.
He actually played okay.
Availability was his biggest issue, and it's a big one.
Yeah. And then Kenyon Green is just wow. Wow, that was just amazing how bad he is at pass blocking. And that's kind of a big deal. I think it's kind of important. I don't know about you, but, well, I mean, when Jeffrey Simmons was, oh, my gosh. And you got Jeffrey Simmons twice a year now and all the other defensive I don't know where Jalen Green is going, but I hope it's not to Indianapolis because, goodness gracious, if Jalen Green ends up in Indy, well, you got Jeffrey Simmons twice a year, and then you got him, and you got Kenyon Green trying to block those guys, that's a disaster. That's a disaster. So, no, that wasn't good. Second-round pick, Jalen Petre, was pretty good. That was a pretty good pick, right? Fourth-round pick, Damian Pierce, was pretty good. Pretty damn good. I mean, so you had – you got guys.
So the Texans are going to be judged – at least their first round next year, their first round last year will be judged by the guys they didn't take. We all know about Sauce up in New York. I mean, he gets, right. For some reason they treat him like
I'm tired of hearing about Sauce.
I mean, they treated him like an All Pro. He might as well have been voted All Pro with all the holding he got away with. But push that aside. You also have Zion Johnson, the guard that went to the Chargers, a couple picks behind Kenyon Green. So he started all year, had some issues, but not the issues that Kenyon Green did with pass protection. So you can look at those two players that went behind your picks and go, maybe we would have been better off taking those guys. So it'll be interesting how that plays out. Year one, and to your point with Derek Stingley, incomplete. Did not play enough for us to make a full determination, which is a problem in and of itself.
Yeah. No, that's the real problem, quite frankly. That is the real problem is that it was incomplete, as opposed to, you know, him actually being there. And even if it was a crappy grade, he could get better. We saw Kareem Jackson get better. The problem is him not being there. That's the biggest problem. I would have much rather he played poorly or at least showed some signs, some flashes, which he did when he played. But yes, this is what we get. This is the Derek Stingley that we get. He ain't around. He ain't never around. So that's what we got to live with. Did you see this? Somebody sent us the Black Lotus.
No.
Did you see it?
Not yet.
Oh, it's a Saturday Night Live skit. And it's apparently the hotel is run by black people.
Okay.
And they ain't having none of this foolishness. Well, this white people foolishness.
Well, yeah. White Lotus is a lot of white people foolishness.
Oh, it is. There's no question. Did you watch White Lotus?
Yeah, I've seen both seasons. It's fun. I mean, I'm not as enamored with it as other people are, but yeah, I watch them. It's HBO has us unlocked. That slot on Sunday nights is where we will go if HBO puts on a show. And I enjoyed it. I heard you talk about the Italian hooker again yesterday, about Michael Imperioli and his success. You know, he really didn't do anything with her. You know.
Yeah, the first essay did.
No, I mean, yeah, in the show, but I mean, it's not real.
Oh, you don't know that.
Well, I kind of do. It's a TV show.
You don't really know that. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes in those shows.
We wouldn't have heard about it if he is doing what you suggested happened with her.
I don't know what he's doing.
He's been married since 1995. You're besmirching a married man's name.
Well, all I know is that it made me a little bit uncomfortable.
What made you uncomfortable?
Yeah, it made me feel uncomfortable, you know.
You got a tingling feeling in your special place? What do you mean it made you uncomfortable?
No, what made me uncomfortable was Michael Imperioli being put in that situation.
Okay? What situation was that?
He's a married man, okay?
Yes, an actor, and that's what you do. You pretend to be something you're not.
Yeah, well. There you have it. That's well, no, it's real life. Okay.
Okay.
It is what it is.
All right.
There's nothing we can do about it, though. All right. 713-780-3776. The number if you want to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about that was our Texans segment? Is that good?
I mean, that was fun, right? That was fun stuff for people talking about possible missing on other draft picks. Players you should have taken instead of the ones you did take. That was fun.
That was. We're trying to have some fun here, right?
Can we talk about Eli Apple?
You want to talk Eli Apple? Let's do Eli Apple on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Because right now I got to talk about Billy Brown. I got to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing, and I'm telling you, when you need a plumber. They're like lifesavers because let that water flow in your house for any amount of time, and it's just the worst. I mean, it can ruin your house, literally ruin your house. Listen, my house is still. We had what's going on here? The baseboard's pulling away. The floorboards are buckling. It's like what the heck's going on here? Call Billy. Boom. Well, called Aqueduct Plumbing. Boom. They're out there. Boom. They found the leak. Boom, taken care of. Now, we're still working on it with all of the stuff that we're dealing with the insurance and everything else. But if it wasn't for Aqueduct, man, that thing would still be going right now. And they found it like that. And they found it before just like that. They're unbelievable. What our water tanks we've had issues with the hot water, they were unbelievable how good they are. And, oh, by the way, if you haven't had your water tanks cleaned out in a while, you need to because stuff builds up in them. So if you've got water tanks, well, everybody's got water tanks, but if you have these water tanks, you need to have Aqueduct out there, and you need to have them clean them out. Listen, no matter what it is, put this number in your phone because if you've got an issue, they're going to be out there right away. 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238. They're just the best, Aqueduct Plumbing.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Yes, yes, y'all. Check it out, y'all. Yes, yes, y'all. Check it out, y'all.
Check it out, y'all.
Yo, I find the show. Rhyme till it's time to go.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You like what Eli Apple did?
I don't know if like is what the word I would use, but it's more like I'm amazed by what he's done. Look, Eli Apple, known troll. He pissed off Kansas City when he went after them after they won the AFC title game last year. Everyone got their revenge on him, I guess, when Cooper Kupp beat him for the game-winning touchdown. Super Bowl people took shots at him because that's what he opened himself up to. Well, now he went after America's team. Not the Cowboys, but because the Bills and Bills fans have nominated themselves America's most popular team, mostly because of DeMar Hamlin's recovery and people, you know, everyone's siding with the Bills because of DeMar. And they want to see good things happen for DeMar and the Bills. I'm a Dolphin fan, so great that DeMar is doing better, but I wasn't all about that life. AFC East rivals and all that type of stuff. You get it. But Eli Apple took it to a level where I'm like, huh, did he go too far? But I'm glad he didn't apologize. Eli Apple, quote tweeted, he's been doing it all for the last couple of days after the Bills got dominated by his Cincinnati Bengals. He's talking about why he won't pay for his mama to go to KC. She talked about the tickets being too expensive. Someone suggested he should pay for the tickets. He goes, nah, I'm not doing that. Mama can watch from the crib. So he's not doing it. So that's his latest tweet, but This is what caught people's eye. Stephon Diggs got into, it wasn't an altercation. He was upset with Josh Allen, maybe not getting him the football, maybe not seeing him. It was frustration boiling over from their loss. At the end of the game, everyone's seen the video of him on the sideline going, come on, hands raised, and Josh just looking at the pad, looking at what's going on. Well, people got after Diggs, calling him a bad teammate possibly, because, you know, he left the locker room and then had to get pulled back in by Duke Johnson. So these are tweets by Stephon Diggs in response to people criticizing him. Want me to be okay with losing? Nah. His next was, want me to be okay with our level of play when it's not up to the standard? Nah. This is the one that Eli Apple quote tweeted. It's easy to criticize my reaction more than the result. Eli Apple yesterday says, Cancun on three, which is something that happens when people lose. Patrick Beverly did it too. But the added twist was him doing the heart thing with the hands that everyone saw the Bills and Bills fans doing. And then you add the fact that DeMar Hamlin's number is three. And it got people shook up.
Oh, I didn't even notice the heart.
Yeah.
All I saw was, well, actually the original is Nick Van Axel, 1-2-3 Cancun.
I was in L.A. at the time. Was actually a Laker fan at that point before things changed. I remember they were getting toasted by maybe the Jazz or something. I can't remember who the actual team was. Maybe the Suns. I don't remember. But the Lakers were in that funk before they made the trade for Kobe and things kind of got changed for them. I remember that. But Cancun on three for Eli Apple with the heart thing with the hands, which from all indications is a shot at what the Bills are doing for DeMar Hamlin. So
okay,
that's what got people upset.
Let me ask you this. What number is Jeremy Pena?
He's three.
Who started the heart hand thing?
Jeremy Pena?
Yeah. Now, it's certainly not Certainly not DeMar Hamlin.
Okay? DeMar Hamlin.
Jeremy Pena was going around the bases with the heart hand thing.
I understand, but it
that's
is now
Jeremy, and everybody's appropriating now.
Well, sure. I mean, I know you took issue with this previously because you knew that to be a Jeremy Pena thing. But I thought you would be the first person to get upset and then say something about Buffalo and DeMar Hamlin because you got close one time. I remember. But you got close. I thought, oh, here it comes.
Well,
Johnny's
going to
step out there and say something.
Hold on a second. DeMar Hamlin cannot appropriate the hard hand thing.
Well,
okay?
I mean, I don't know if Jeremy Pena is the first person to ever do that.
Jeremy Pena,
I think,
made it great.
I think
okay,
Angel,
whatever.
I think
Jeremy
Angel
Pena,
Di Maria does that in soccer. I think he does that.
No one watches soccer, so no one knew that.
The World Cup was pretty watched, and he played for Argentina. I mean,
yeah, nobody saw it.
Okay,
so this is a Jeremy Pena thing. Hmm. We can't be upset with Eli Apple. Maybe he's a huge Astro fan, and Jeremy Pena number three, hearts Cancun on three. Jeremy Pena, love him. Everybody
but why would he
Jeremy
quote
Pena.
Tweet Stefan Diggs if he's honoring Jeremy Pena?
Because, hey, listen, everything that he, maybe, I don't know, I got to look through his tweets, maybe everything is Jeremy Pena heart.
No, it's only that one specific thing. The rest of his tweets for the last, like, 24 hours is making fun of the Bills.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
So he tweeted out the picture, Jay on SC tweeted out Stefan Diggs upset with Josh Allen on the sideline, which was with Stefan Diggs with his hands out, like, what are we doing, blah, 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 yelling it at Josh Allen, presumably. And Eli quote tweets it, someone get them in couples therapy, Josh Allen and Stefan Diggs, I'll pay on God. And then he's got the praying hands. Did he mean I'll pray on God? Or
no, he's saying I'll pay, and on God means, like, I'm swearing on God I'll pay. Like,
oh,
you can trust me that I'm going to pay.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
On God, I'm going to pay.
I didn't know. Okay, I'll pay. Yeah, okay.
I'll be your interpreter. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, T, you're going to have to. I'm going to need some interpretation from Eli. Although I'm interpreting from you with the Jeremy Pena thing, okay? Right? So you think immediately it's DeMar Hamlin.
I don't. It doesn't matter what I think. It's what everyone else thinks. And the fact that he made the heart thing with the hands is enough for people to go, oh, okay. That's not just like a 1-2-3 Cancun, you're out of here, Bills. It's, oh, he's mimicking and trolling us with the DeMar thing as well.
Well, see, that's why you can never be a lawyer, because now you have to twist it somehow, some way to make it, oh no, you're misinterpreting.
No, I'm sure in media availability tomorrow, if it's his day tomorrow, he'll say, no, that's just simply telling them to go home, 1-2-3 Cancun. It just so happens that I sent a little love with it as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, probably. We'll see. Okay, did you happen to see the other DeMar Hamlin story?
No. Are people going through DeMar's tweets and finding negative things? No, I haven't seen the next
story. No.
Okay.
No. Apparently... DeMar Hamlin, apparently there's a conspiracy theory that he's actually a clone.
I thought it was that COVID caused this, or the shot caused this. Now it's that he's a clone?
He's a clone, apparently. If you head over to Twitter, begin to type DeMar Hamlin into the search bar, the top two suggestions are DeMar Hamlin dead and DeMar Hamlin face. If you click... Did you not see the people tweeting, why can't we see his face? Why is it that DeMar Hamlin, well, maybe because it was
God
snowing
snow?
So hard.
What, the weather?
But every picture of him was from behind with the hoodie on or with the snow in his face that we never actually saw DeMar Hamlin, that he's actually dead and that they've got a clone in his place.
I thought we saw him walk into the building on the Bills' own Twitter.
Maybe you did. I don't know.
So why would they need to clone DeMar Hamlin? Look, no one wanted what happened to him to happen, but why is a safety for the Bills the one
the
that
NFL,
gets the clone
the
treatment?
NFL, because of the vaccine now, it's killing players, and the NFL doesn't want their bajillion-dollar business to be hurt because they forced the guys to get vaccines, and now all of a sudden they're all dying.
But the NFL didn't create the vaccine. I understand that because you have to get vaccinated to play, but wouldn't they do something about their concussion problem first? Like, hey, put a Tua clone out there. See, he's fine. Wouldn't they do that first before they started doing vaccine stuff since they get blamed for concussion stuff all the time?
You don't get it.
No, I don't. You're right. I don't get it.
You don't.
You are
how this
correct.
Works.
I don't understand why they go to vaccine clones as opposed to not just having concussion clones out there.
So there's a picture of him. They've got a giant mural of him with making the heart, the Jeremy Pena heart.
Okay, sure.
Okay,
sure.
And he's standing in front of it, but he's got his hoodie on, and you can't barely see his face. And it says clone next, and the caption is clone because he doesn't want people to know that he's dead.
Hmm. It seems like it being DeMar is the one I can't get over. I don't know that that would be the hill they broke the clone out for, the player they broke the clone out for. This is who you're going to use as your to deceive everyone?
Well, you don't see what's the most famous injury that we have seen ever, maybe? Ever. That.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Of course they would. They would. This is the one that they would choose. He had the most famous injury in NFL history.
But right? The NFL,
they stopped a game for him.
But no one was blaming the NFL for that injury. Only people who decided to make it about COVID were blaming the NFL.
You're not onto this.
I'm not onto it.
Okay. You're not onto this. Apparently, I'm gonna show you. I got a buddy of mine who I have a bet with now.
Okay.
Here, if Hamlin got the job, listen to this. This is. Oh my God! I bet there are a bunch of NFL execs who are praying to sweet baby Jesus that another player doesn't collapse with a heart attack on the field and need CPR. You can't hide that. You can't pretend it's some rare event, chest collision at just the right millisecond. I've been watching the NFL for 50 years, never seen something like that. Players put two and two together, and the NFL comes to a screeching halt. No playoffs, no Super Bowl. The players threw the pants off the NFL for forcing them to get an experimental vaccine that fit healthy players had zero need for in order to keep their jobs. One word, carnage. This is a real text one of my buddies. People actually think this. What was the first thing that came out? The vaccine. This is the vaccine.
Well, I didn't say your buddies are smart.
No. No, my buddies are idiots. This is a real thing out there, Dell.
And what did you respond to this? Did you have anything to say?
Well, yeah. I sent
you were like,
picture,
damn right. Is that what you said?
No, I sent him a picture of a Trump NFT. You done now? Go back to praying to your Trump playing cards.
Jeez. I mean, even if you believe that, I couldn't even think to text that to someone. Like, I don't have the energy to text that to anyone. Well, I don't care enough to do that. Let's say your buddy is correct. You think I want to spend the energy texting that out to you?
No, I know, right? No, I know. Now we got to bet that by the fourth game of next NFL season,
another player
won't die on the field.
Oh, well. So he so by week four.
Yes.
If no one dies on the field, what do you win?
I win. We got $100.
Oh, okay. Feels like $100 you're going to.
A little hundy in the pocket.
Feels like $100 in your pocket.
That's all.
Easy money.
Thanks. I just said thanks.
Yeah, I'm gonna bet on that thing that the thing you're suggesting gonna happen that hasn't happened in how many years in the NFL? Yeah,
right.
I'm gonna take that bet and feel pretty good about it.
Except it did. Well, except it happened in hockey, Chris Brown. It happened to DJ Hayden. This was all before.
No, I'm talking about death. Actual death is what he suggested. But I know what you're saying. Oh. Yes, this has happened before. DJ Hayden. I mean, Lance texted the group chat the story. DJ Hayden was near death. Because of it. And although no one knew it at the time, thankfully he got checked out or he wouldn't have survived. And this happened on the practice field way before COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. DeMar's the perfect player to pull the clone on. Nobody knows what he looks like. That injury made him famous. Did you know what a DeMar Hamlin was before that?
Well, I knew he was a safety for the Bills, but I didn't know what he looked like.
Right. He was a basic Bill, that's all. I mean, he actually started playing
Bill?
Because of an injury this year.
Did you call him a basic Bill?
Yeah. He was basic.
Until
he became a superstar.
Did he wear Uggs and go to Starbucks for pumpkin spice latte too?
Pumpkin spice latte, yeah.
Okay, basic Bill. Okay.
Yeah.
There's another basic Bill with a new job, though.
Well, there is, and he's got a job. Well, we think he's got a job. We'll
talk allegedly about he has a new job.
There is a basic. He is basic, too. We'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.